It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Throughout the region and country, rural hospitals are closing. And a sweeping pandemic is highlighting just how vulnerable that leaves communities.
But shame on us if we don't invest in our public health infrastructure, and if we don't invest in our overall health infrastructure, and if we don't look for ways to make healthcare equitable for all Americans.
That story and more coming up. This is West Virginia Morning. The latest episode of Inside Appalachia explores stories about resilience, hope, and the economy, and how COVID-19 affects all of this. NPR newscaster Giles Snyder guest hosts the episode this week. For some insight, he spoke with Ohio Valley Resource reporter Becca Schimmel. For the past 4 years, she's been covering Appalachia's changing economic landscape.
Becca, thanks for talking with me.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Now, we've heard a lot about workers being laid off since stay-at-home orders have been issued, and businesses have been asked to remain closed for the time being, and you've kept tabs on the situation in the Ohio Valley. What are people worried about?
Well, people are worried about evictions. Do they have enough food? What are they going to do when rent comes around? Especially because we have a lot of people who work in the service industry, and so they depend on those customers coming in. They depend on that living paycheck to paycheck kind of lifestyle for a lot of people. And so having these shut down, even if places are still open for takeout, that still is a big decrease in revenue and in tips and things like that. So they're worried about, am I going to be able to afford rent? How long is this going to go on? And what should I do in the meantime? They're being encouraged to apply for unemployment, but for some people in the region, that's not really an option, like those who work in the gig economy or those who are hairdressers, contractors, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've read some of your reporting. You visited a restaurant in Ohio, and you've spoken with some auto workers in Kentucky. Could you give me a sense of who these people are?
Yeah, so I spoke to somebody in Ohio who had been working at this restaurant where 11 people got laid off because of restaurants closing, and that was in Albany, Ohio, I believe. And there was just a sense of a change in life, not only an effect on their pocketbook or the money that they're going to be earning, but it was a sense that this is part of their community. And that they would miss the people that they regularly speak to and serve and help. And that was a lot of the feeling that I got from the food service industry when I've talked to different people working in restaurants, is that, you know, this is my daily life. What do I do now? And it's a lot of times people who are used to interacting with the public a lot more, and it's something that for some people they really enjoy doing. And so it's been a hard transition in that sense. And as far as the automotive industry is concerned, they're still only looking at kind of a short-term shutdown so that they can clean the facilities. But what I got from the United Auto Workers is that they're not sure they can actually adequately clean these facilities and get to everything, or that it'll really help and they'll be able to come back within the time frame that they've been given.
Mm-hmm. The latest economic rescue package Congress considered this week aims to address many of the questions that workers have about their immediate future. I'm talking about expanded unemployment benefits and making money available to small businesses to help them meet payroll. Now, you've spoken to some economists on the ground in your region, and what are they suggesting?
Yeah, they're suggesting that, you know, we need some of those things that already are in that package. Expanded unemployment, paid sick leave, increased access to Medicaid, social safety net programs. And some of the economists that I've talked to, particularly an economist in Kentucky, is saying that we need some kind of short-term universal base income where we're not just seeing these one-time checks for people, but that it's something that is there on a consistent basis until the economy and the country can come out of this pandemic and be able to open places back up and business gets back to normal.
Mm-hmm. How are regional leaders responding?
Well, a little bit differently. Kentucky and Ohio have been similar. I think it's been Ohio first with some of these restrictions or precautions, then Kentucky, and then West Virginia kind of following a third in line of those three states. Bars and restaurants are closed. Front-facing businesses are closed. Anywhere really that people can gather or have the potential to gather, those places have largely been closed down and shuttered in most of the region.
I don't want to be insensitive, but economic hardship is nothing new to Appalachia. I wonder if you get a sense that people in the region are somehow better equipped, if you will, to deal with this, or is there more of a sense of resignation about, you know, just one more thing to deal with?
it's definitely different across the region, I think. For some people, they're kind of already, in a sense, hardened to these experiences where, you know, the coal industry has left, as well as other businesses or those that had the potential to get started and really bring a lot of jobs haven't happened. And so it's unfortunate that there's, in some places in Appalachia, this expectation of hardship and this resiliency to it. And in other places in the Ohio Valley, there's the kind of attitude of, well, now this is another thing that I'm dealing with. And that shock is still there. So it varies across the region a little bit.
Yeah, job losses, economic uncertainty, always tough things to cover, especially now. Do you ever get used to it? Or is this something you just have to compartmentalize when you get home at night?
I would say some days I'm used to it, and that's really when I've been working on one particular piece for a while, and that really just means I'm used to a very small portion of it for a short amount of time. And I think that the thing that does help is there are people across the region that are looking for solutions, that are opening their businesses, that are supporting each other in their community. And while Appalachia has faced a lot of hardship, it also is a very strong community. The kind of community that even those that have left the region still feel a part of. So I think that's something that I kind of hold on to and take home with me as well.
Well, Becca, take care of yourself, okay?
Thanks, you too.
Again, that was Ohio Valley Resource reporter Becca Schimmel speaking with Giles Snyder, who guest hosts the latest episode of Inside Appalachia. For more stories about how Appalachia is responding to the coronavirus, including stories of hope, kindness, and compassion, you can listen to the podcast at wvpublic.org or wherever you listen to podcasts. The Ohio Valley has lost 21 hospitals over the past 15 years, many that once served rural communities. As coronavirus cases skyrocket through the region, health officials now worry that the hospital capacity they've lost will make it harder to treat the sick. Liam Niemeyer reports.
38-year-old Tiffany Wilburn Meek in Greenup County, Kentucky, has always relied on her local hospital, Our Lady of Bellefonte. It's where she had planned to take her 23-month-old daughter, Darian, for speech therapy.
Hi. This is my little girl.
But the 67-year-old nonprofit hospital is closing in about 5 weeks. 220 beds gone and over 1,000 employees displaced.
It's just a lot. And with a pandemic, it's terrifying. And I'm afraid that people will die as a consequence of the hospital closing.
She had started an online petition to fight the closure, but she isn't optimistic. That leaves only one hospital nearby. And Our Lady of Bellefonte will join at least 21 other hospitals that closed in the Ohio Valley in the past 15 years. That includes three hospitals that closed last year near Wheeling, West Virginia. Marlene Moore was the lead nurse at Ohio Valley Medical Center in Wheeling before it closed. She now works at the last remaining hospital in a town with a high percentage of senior citizens.
If you get several that come in at the same time in severe respiratory distress, you're going to run out of ICU beds, you're going to run out of ventilators, you're actually going to run out of places to treat these people.
A recent Kaiser Family Foundation study found West Virginia led the nation in how vulnerable its population is to coronavirus because of old age and pre-existing conditions. And Kentucky isn't far behind. That could put already financially stressed rural hospitals in a more precarious position with the coronavirus.
Supply costs could tax them.
That's Kentucky Hospital Association Vice President Bud Warman. He says many of those vulnerable people rely on Medicare and Medicaid for treatment, which underpay rural hospitals. And a surge of coronavirus patients needing expensive, weeks-long treatment would farther stress the hospitals that remain.
The rural hospital system in this country was put together because it made sense to do that at the time, and it still makes sense.
Warman says many in Appalachia have to travel farther for care because of hospital closures, or they rely on community health centers like the ones Michael Brummage runs in central West Virginia. Brummage is alarmed rural hospitals are still shutting down as need will sharply increase. He points to Fairmont Regional Medical Center in northern West Virginia, which is closing this week. Brummage is personally familiar with the hospital. It's where he was born.
And it's befuddling to me how they could close this hospital during a pandemic when there are going to be so many more beds that need to be filled. It staggers the imagination.
His centers often serve those who are low income or uninsured, but his clinics can't provide the inpatient services that hospitals can. While a new hospital is planned in Fairmont, it won't be completed before the pandemic would likely hit. There are some efforts to support rural hospitals amid the crisis. The American Hospital Association is asking for $100 billion to offset coronavirus cost. Brummage says it's an overdue investment.
But shame on us if we don't invest in our public health infrastructure, and if we don't invest in our overall health infrastructure, and if we don't look for ways to make health care equitable for all Americans.
For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Liam Niemeyer.
The Ohio Valley Resource is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Last week, we launched an initiative wherein we're asking folks to call in and share stories with us. We're looking for two things. One, stories of hope and kindness of West Virginians helping West Virginians amid coronavirus. Two, stories from essential workers, grocery, medical, truck drivers, postal service workers, etc. For those in those jobs, we're looking to hear what you see and are experiencing on the ground. Last week, we heard from Aaron in the Northern Panhandle. He left us this message.
My name is Aaron. I'm a steel worker in West Virginia who's still working. Things around here haven't really changed too much, except for the fact that we're getting a lot less trucks in to take our steel away. Right now, the word is that we're going to be working until our warehouse fills up because trucks aren't taking them away. We won't have any more room to produce more steel or until someone gets sick. The other day, I gave a lot of money to a local Catholic worker charity, just thinking about the folks that they serve, homeless people, and how they're dealing. It kind of put a pit in my stomach, and I couldn't help but think about it for hours. And so I gave some money, and then I gave some more money, and then I gave some more money. And then I called up and offered to volunteer, and I'm hoping that I'm going to start doing that next week. We're getting along, and we're going to help our community get along, too.
That was Aaron in the Northern Panhandle. Thanks, Aaron, for sharing your story. To share your story, email a voice memo to klofton@wvpublic.org or leave a voicemail on our tip line at 800-633-4560. Again, that's 800-633-4560. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our news director and producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.